You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Brenton on Tour Espresso Shot. It's the podcast, but it's just a little version. You know, some of these smaller shows, just to kind of get the lead out a little bit, as I touched on last week. My guests that I've got confirmed over the next couple of episodes, I still have to film them and record them and do the whole thing. And I'm kind of saving all of my creativity for them, all my hard-hitting questions. What are their hard-hitting questions? I don't know. But I got somebody from The Sopranos coming up. I've got some bands coming up. And I get to go back on tour again in the middle of August through Texas and through Albuquerque, New Mexico, to go see one of my favorite coffee places, Cutbow Coffee, down there. Hey, Paul. Over to Phoenix and up to California, into Chicago, over to New York. Coincidentally, I'm going to be in New York City 20 years to the date of September 11th. Kind of weird, considering I was tour managing a band that was supposed to be in New York City on September 11th. And then we got obviously delayed and didn't go. And it was tragic and brutal. So it's going to be interesting to be returning there. I was there a month after September 11th and everything was still smoldering. You could still smell. It's just a weird kind of sulfur in the air. It was just really, really eerie. And I've only been back to New York once since then and didn't get down to that part. Chose to go Central Park and just kind of be a tourist when it comes to that. So to be in New York City on September 11th, 20 years after, is going to be really weird. But I'm going to go and I'm going to take it all in, and I think go down and see what's going to go down there for tributes and all the rest of it. I'm very curious as to what that's going to look like. And again, such a tragic scenario, but back on tour, and then it takes me up into Canada. And then that ends it, which puts me home for a week in October, which, you know, imagine that, going back to Ontario and seeing some friends and family and all the rest of it. So pretty excited about that, to get back to touring. As I said, starting in Texas and going down through that world and in this new kind of touring world post-COVID, how's it going to look? Well, I get asked that question a lot. I wish I had the answers. I don't have the answers outside of, you could pretty much expect things to be what you think they're going to be. Are you going to be forced to show a vaccination card when you come in? Maybe in some markets, but there's going to be others where they don't. Is the artist going to be comfortable touring in this scenario? We're going to find out. I mean, artists are confirming tours like crazy. I'm a firm believer that all the tours that are being announced now are going to happen. I think you're going to have a set of protocols in place regionally, state run, province run, country run. Everyone's going to be different. It's going to be a bit of a guinea pig scenario over the next at least year and a half, for sure, 2 years, where people try to figure out until there's some kind of scenario where it's back to normal. You don't have to change your protocols. You don't have to change things per market, per city. It's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be different for the touring folk. 12 people packed into a bus. Is it 8 now? These are the questions. Meet and greets for bands. Are they happening? Do they want them to happen? Do they still want to meet the fans? I think Zoom and Restream, things like this, have created a new way for them to get creative in that department. Are fans going to buy a VIP package if they can't meet the band? Or do fans not want to meet the band? Sometimes meeting your heroes isn't necessarily a good thing. Sometimes they let you down, right? So I'm very curious to see where it's going to go. I'm definitely feeling privileged to be on one of the first tours that's going to go out in this scenario. Obviously going to be doing a lot of recon and reporting back as to how things are going and how the public's doing and how the bands are feeling, what's going to happen backstage. I mean, there's that whole world that no one knows about, you know, that I won't dive too much into because I don't want to give away too much, but you know, bands got to eat. Security people kicking around, VIP tents, backstage hangout areas, all going to change. The touring as we know is all going to change. I think you're going to see more hit and run. Get into the show, do the show, leave. I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everyone's just like, let's just go for it. I mean, it's certainly happening in the States. People are going for it in the States with, you're seeing it with hockey, you're seeing it with baseball. Like Texas was the first one that did 45,000 people in Houston for a game. No one really seemed to bat an eye at that. It's interesting. We're not seeing any reporting out of those scenarios. Whereas before, we were getting daily updates on every part of the world and every single aspect of the world and what people were doing, how many, what were the new numbers and all these different things, but it's kind of gone away from that. And especially in America, I'm not hearing really any reporting. Am I going looking for it? Not really. But are they jamming it down our face like before? No. So it's kind of a bit of a Wild West scenario where we don't really know what that's going to look like. What are the numbers? Do we care about the numbers anymore? Do we care about anything anymore? Or do we just want to get back to normal? So you'll see, these are all just questions I'm asking you, the viewer and the listener. Are you going to go to shows? What was your favorite show? Are you not going to go to a show if you don't feel like they're protecting you? And everyone has their own version of protection. What does that mean? Does everyone in the crowd have to wear masks? Are you a person that feels like if the crowd isn't full of masks that you feel inclined to go and still feel safe? Interesting.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But then you go to the supermarket and you don't wear one. So I'm just asking questions. It's very interesting. Are you missing live music and events so much that you'll do anything to see them? Or are you going to stick to your guns? I'm pretty confident most people are going to stick to their guns and just do what they want to do. So I think it's a very interesting time. I had some notes about, you know, returning to live. What does that mean? Favorite bands, favorite shows. Do you guys have a favorite show that you have seen that's just, it's so ingrained in you that you just can't wait to get back out there and see another show from your favorite artist? I know music heals people. I think anyways, I think that scenario, I witnessed it this weekend on July 4th down in America. I mean, there was a lot of concerts happening, a lot of bands, a lot of people gathered together, everyone having an amazing time. It felt so weird to watch bands on stage playing that I almost forgot that what it was like. So it was cool and also like, okay, I guess we're back. Are we back? We're going to find out. All questions for you, the listener. Yeah, I'm challenging you this week. That's right. My favorite show? I mean, I got so many favorite shows, but I think just if I'm getting into favorites of all time, I think I have to go back to my first concert ever, which was Metallica, Aerosmith, The Black Crowes, and Warrant in Toronto at the Cine. What a great show. It was Metallica's Justice tour. It was the Monsters of Rock. All those bands. Well, Black Crowes' first show in Toronto. I was like, hey, I'm going to go see Warrant. This is going to be great. Well, they got booed off the stage, unfortunately. And then now I know why, obviously. 50,000 fans chanting, die, die to Metallica. And I was like, ah, I get it. Everyone's here for Metallica. Aerosmith's just the cherry on top. So that was interesting. Definitely number one for me. It was my first ever concert, thanks to Tim Masterson. From there, it kind of trickles down. I'm sure you guys have had your favorite shows. What are some of the favorite concerts that you've seen? These are all just, as I'm doing the espresso shot, I want to hear from you, the viewer. I want to hear from you, the listener. What are some of your favorite shows? Leave them in the Twitter feed at Brenton on Tour. You can find me at Brenton on Tour Podcast, all of them, on Instagram and all these places. Just leave your comments. Let me engage you to tell me what your favorite concert was. Some of the best shows you've ever seen. I mean, geez, I'm a metal guy, a rock guy, as a lot of you guys know, but Skid Row and Pantera in Peterborough, Ontario. Pantera with a strobe light. Just, come on. Amazing. The epitome of what I do, getting a chance to go and do Pearl Jam in Toronto for two nights during the Toronto Film Festival in my hometown. Like, come on. Some of these great, great shows. All I ever wanted to do was Wembley. Look, I finally got a chance to do Wembley. What I'm saying is, like, it never ends. We never stop having our favorites. We never stop like, oh, I can't wait to go see that show. I can't wait to do this event. We never stop. It always evolves. Once you see one amazing show, you want to see the next amazing show. Once you see this band, you want to see the next band. It never ends. So I'm curious, are you guys excited for the return of live? Odd question. A majority of the people are going to be like, of course. Yes, we want to see live shows. We want to go back. But it's all going to change. It's really, people are selective with their time now. I think the one thing that this whole time has proven is that everyone's more selective with their time. And I am one of them. How do I want to choose to spend my time? So the show's got to be good. The bands have to be good. Everyone has to up their game. And I'm stoked to see where they go. Thanks to my friends at Blue Microphones for the Blue Yeti X and the MixFi headphones. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Helps me try to sound as good as possible and hear myself as good as possible. Huge fans of what they do over there. They've got these amazing Yeti X, as I said, and MixFi phones. They sponsored the Brenton on Tour podcast and the Kids on the Escalator podcast, which I do on Tuesday nights with my good friend Chris Machete. Very, very awesome of them to do that. To my friends at DeanBlundell.com, thanks for hosting me as always. Couldn't be doing this without you guys for giving me the space to go ahead and do it. And everyone supports each other. Make sure you check out some of the other pods on the network over there. Toddcast Podcast, of course, the Kids on the Escalator Podcast. Dean's show is a must-watch daily. You've got Big Chris Radio. You've got JJ and Mel. PP1, there's so many to list that I'll let you go over to DeanBlundell.com and find it out. I'll be back. I'm going to take next week off, possibly the week after that, as I compile these new interviews for you guys to listen to. I'm going to be breaking most of August regardless, and then probably back in September. So I encourage you to go and listen to some old episodes. The old episodes are getting some love right now. A lot of people are discovering the old episodes and asking me about them. So I'm trying to bring some of those to the forefront and also invite you to go visit them and also get some of those guests back. So you never know. But I appreciate y'all for listening. Like, comment, share, subscribe, do all the things that, you know, we ask you to do politely. Maybe do a little ranking over there. Why don't you go to Apple and say, hey, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. Or, hey, I don't mind this. It's all right. It puts me to sleep. Who knows? It's Brenton on Tour for another week. Thanks, friends, for listening. Rock on.
What happens when we play outside? We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves. Let's take this outside. a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at letstakethisoutside.ca.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.